Our scripture this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5 and verse 8 and 9. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord commanded.
Gracious Father, we thank you for the many blessings.
We thank you for the ability to praise you. And Lord, we do praise you this day. Lord, may you guide us in our steps. May you watch our paths. May you give us your grace. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I wanted to do communion a little early today. So I don't know how it's going to be towards the end. You might not want salty bread. I don't know. So I thought about communion today, and I thought about when Jesus gave that example so long ago that we continue. I thought about him, when he did it, he was saying goodbye to his friends, to his disciples. And it must have been a terribly hard time for him, the things that he knew were coming. And I don't have that to worry about. All I have is heartbreak right now. Over leaving. I don't have to worry about being crucified and beaten and all of those things that he did. But I tell you, when he shared that table that night with those people, those friends of his, it must have been so difficult for him. Yet it must have been so fulfilling that he was able to do that with the men and women that were there. I'm sure that they took part in it too. That night when he shared it with them, he was able to look at them, each one, as they passed the loaf and the cup. And he was able to see the future of his kingdom there. That in those people, those very people there, rested the hopes, the dreams of all that he had came to do, to teach, and to live. And folks, when I look at you today, I see those same hopes, dreams, and the future of this church and its ministry in this community. Because it is not me that's going to sustain this church. It is Jesus Christ working in each of you. So here today, I want to ask Renee to come and help me. We have been here and served together and been served by you, and we want to share with you once more this gift that God has given us all through the supper that He gave us that night. On the night in which Jesus gave Himself up for us, He sat with His friends, and after the Passover had been completed, He took a loaf, much like this, I'm sure, and He blessed it, gave God thanks for the bounty of His good creation. He broke it, and He told His disciples, "This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this as often as you come together in remembrance of Me." And after the bread had been shared, He took the cup and gave God thanks for the fruit of the vine, representing His blood that would be shed for each one of us for the forgiveness of our sins. And He told them, "Take and do this as often as you come together in remembrance of Me." today, I invite you to come to this table that has been prepared for us, remembering God's great gift to us in Himself. Remembering God's great gift to us of salvation. Remembering God's good gift of love. The table has been prepared. Come as you are led. You probably figured it that I would be sharing something about everything I ever needed to know. I don't know how many of those sermons I've preached in the last 8 years, but probably enough to wear it out. I don't know. But I couldn't help but one more today. The scripture I read, I know it probably seems a little morbid to read about Moses' death and all. But that situation, with a new person coming, Joshua coming to the leadership of those folks, there needed to be some closure to it. And I hope that's what we can do today. Now I'm going to read the scripture again. John, you can put it up or not. That doesn't matter. It says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." Some of the things that I've learned here at Francis Asbury, everything I ever needed to know. You know, if you're not familiar with this, and I'm not sure how many aren't, but there's a book written a number of years ago by a man named Robert Fulghum that said all the things he ever needed to know he learned in kindergarten. Not at the high levels of education and scholarship, but the simple things in the sandbox. And it seems to me that over the years, the best lessons I've ever learned have been in the simple things of life. One of the things that I've learned here at Francis Asbury is that nothing stays the same. Things change, folks. Moses, no longer, who had been leading these people for how many years at this point, I can't even remember now. But he had been their leader. He had led them from slavery to a free people. He had led them through hardships and almost certain disasters out in the wilderness as they escaped the Egyptians and then dealt with all the various things that assaulted them and as they wandered, the temptations that they faced, the backsliding, if you so choose to call it, that they did. It just seems like they couldn't get it right time after time after time. Moses had been with them through all this time, from the wilderness, from slavery to the wilderness, and right to the edge of the promised land. Things were about to change. Well, folks, the truth is that things are going to change here. I'm not going to be here. Renee's not going to be here. None of my family will be here. But things do go on. Think about how much change we've seen in the last 8 years, folks. I want you to just, If you were here on the Sunday that I came here 8 years ago, the fifth Sunday of June in 2003, the fifth Sunday of June. How many of you were here that Sunday? Yeah, just take a look around. How many of you are new here since then and you were not coming to church here when I came? You weren't coming to church here. Do y'all see that? Things have changed here. If you don't believe it, get the directory that we published in 2005 and look at it. Things have changed dramatically as far as people that are in the pews. This facility has changed dramatically. I mean, you look. I mean, we've got a projector and a screen. We've taken pews out and using chairs. We've got a beautiful new building over there. I still call it new. I reckon it'll be new for me forever. We've got a new roof on the sanctuary, all the facilities. The yard has been improved. The surroundings, everything here has changed dramatically in 8 years. Financially, we're in good shape as a church. Everybody could do better. We could do more if we had more. We could be in ministry more. We could help more people. I don't know that we'll ever, a church will ever be totally where they need to be there. But I didn't look it up, but I would say that our budget is quite a bit higher today than it was 8 years ago. And you've responded. We have changed in the sense of how we worship and how often we worship. We're one of the, I don't know how many Methodist churches there are in Western North Carolina Conference that have a Wednesday night service. I tell people sometimes, say, we got a church on Wednesday night, says, but you're Methodist, aren't you? Yeah. Is there something that says Methodists can't come to church on Wednesday night? We're a little different there. Things do change. Things changed with Moses. Things changed here. But the good thing is that the children of Israel were in good hands. They were in the hands of a person who was ordained by God, who had His blessing and had been called by Him to lead them. And folks, I believe 199%, 200% that you are about to be led by someone called and led by God to be your pastor. Things change. The second thing that I learned here at Francis Asbury is that we all make mistakes. You know that? We all make. I've told y'all for years that I was perfect or pretty doggone close to it. Well, I'm on my last Sunday. This is Confession Sunday. I'm not quite perfect. I have made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. I'm in pretty good company, though, because you've all made some mistakes during my time here. Pretty good company, all of us, because we look at Moses, and Moses, who is referred to in the Scriptures as a servant of God, and I think there's only three people that use that title, maybe four. Moses, Joshua later is called a servant of God, David is called a servant of God, and then the Messiah himself is called the servant of God. So Moses, who was chosen by God to do all this leading these people out of these extreme and dramatic circumstances through all kinds of stuff, called a servant of God, God didn't allow him to go into the promised land because of his disobedience at Meribah, at Kadesh Meribah. There, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, were complaining. Imagine that. Imagine church people complaining. I don't know where that comes from. But the people of Israel were complaining that they were out there in the desert, no water. What are we going to do? Wish we'd have stayed in Egypt and died there than to come out here. God told Moses and Aaron, He says, y'all go out there. And He says, you go out there and you take your rod and says, you tell the rocks to bring forth water. Well, Moses and Aaron went out there and they're kind of assaulted by the crowd as they're hollering at them when they come out there and all. And we want water, we want, you know, you can almost hear the chants. Well, Moses kind of gets aggravated with the people and he strikes the rock with his staff twice and water comes forth. The children of Israel are given all the water they need to drink, all their livestock and everything. But God tells him, because you didn't hallow me, because you didn't revere me and didn't listen and do exactly like I said, didn't do exactly like this. I mean, what's the big deal? What's the difference between saying, get this, or to, you know, to speak to that box or to hit that box? Why, what, you know, that it'll make it happen? It's no big deal. But you see, God had given him a command to do. Moses didn't do it. Therefore, he was guilty of violating God's ordinances and God's commandments. Just like us. We say, oh, it's no big deal. It's just a little sin. It's just a little lie. It's just a little fault. But folks, we all stand in need of God's grace because we've all fallen short. We've all made mistakes. Now, I'm not about to stand up here today and tell you all the mistakes I've made in the last 8 years. We don't have that long to live, probably, any of us. Maybe some of the little ones. But I have made plenty. We've all made plenty. I'm not asking you to confess either, but what I want you to know is that I apologize for anything that I've done wrong, any slight, any rudeness or sarcasm uncalled for, anything that I've done. When I failed to be there when you needed me, when I should have shut up and listened when I talked, I apologize because I have made mistakes. But yet you know what? God is good. God is gracious. While He didn't let Moses go into the promised land and see everything come to complete fruition that He had promised, He did allow him to glimpse of it. A glimpse of it. And folks, y'all have allowed me a glimpse of what this church can be and will be if you keep your eyes upon the Lord and remain faithful to His call and His directive. I've seen it in our youth. I've seen it in these children up here on Sunday morning. I've seen it in Wednesday night services. I've seen it at the welcome table. I've seen it everywhere I've been. Every hospital visit I've made, every nursing home that I've been in, every house that I've been in, I've seen a glimpse of what and who we can be in this community. Moses got a glimpse of it. I've had a glimpse, and I'm grateful for that. The last thing that I'm going to share this morning that I've learned, I could list a lot of things, but the last thing I want to share is, and this may, you may wonder where I got this from. It may not be scripturally quoted, but I've learned that it is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. That's a Alfred Lord Tennyson quote, I think. And folks, I've learned that that's the truth. That while I may be brokenhearted here today, I've been crying since I woke up this morning, and it don't seem to be getting any better right now. But I've learned that even though all of this is going on, and it's terribly painful here today, that I wouldn't change one thing about it. If I knew it was going to hurt this bad 8 years ago, and somebody told me that, and I probably wouldn't have believed them, but I'd have come anyway because of some things that I've experienced in this time, because of the fun that I've had here. And I mean, that may sound strange to say I've had fun at church, but I hope you have too when you come, because I have had a ball here at this church and in this community and being your pastor, and it's just been so much fun. There's not been a day that I hadn't enjoyed getting up and coming here to this place to come into your homes and visiting you, to talking to you. Some days may have been more fun than others, but I tell you, it's been a lot of fun. And I wouldn't change a thing. It's worth it to have loved and lost because of the friends that I have here. That's the hardest thing that's going to be, I know, it's going to be for me, is not seeing people that I see such regular basis, not seeing them day in and day out, not being able to have that fun and laugh and cut up and do all those foolish things that Christians probably shouldn't do, but, you know, stuffy Christians anyway. But it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all because of the friends that I have here. And I cherish those friendships, each and every one. I wish I could sit down with each one of you and spend the day and just talk and laugh and carry on. But we're just going to have to take glimpses and short parts of that. But it's better to have loved and lost because of my friendships, our friendships here. And finally, on that respect, it's better to have loved and lost because of the joy that you have given me and the memories that I'll take with me, the lessons that I have learned right here in this place. You know, joy is different than happiness. I'm not real happy right now. As a matter of fact, I'm sad. I'm sad. But the joy that's in me is unquenchable, because what y'all have been to me and to Renee, to our family, through all sorts of times in the last 8 years, what you've been to me, to us, is a joy that distance, time, or nothing else can take away. It's better to have loved and lost because of the joy. Knowing how bad it hurts, I would start all over again. Now think about it. And I remember how Jesus came and He lived and He died knowing what was going to happen next, but He still came anyway. And folks, I'd come back tomorrow and do it all over again. In the humanness of Jesus, He must have been wondering, as He said goodbye to His disciples before the meal, in the humanness of Jesus, He must have been wondering, have I done enough? Have I shared enough of God's grace? Have I said everything I should, done all that I can, healed all that I could, or that I needed to? And the answer, of course, is yes, He did. I ask myself in these last few weeks, months, have I done enough? Have I done everything I could? Have I done all I need to do? And my answer, of course, is no, it's not. But the one thing that I have done and I feel confident in is that I've told you about the one who did enough. I've told you about the one who shared enough, the one who gave enough. And so it is in Him. It is in Jesus Christ. It is into His hands, into His calling, into His grace, and into His love, with whom I leave you. Trust Him. Trust in Him who I have told you about, who we have read about, and who we have worshipped. Not me. Everything I ever needed to know, I learned right here. Right here, amongst the friends, amongst the fun, and filled with joy in this wonderful place that God has placed me, given me, blessed me with for the past 8 years. I noticed in the bulletin that there's something after my sermon. That's kind of scary to think that what y'all may have learned from me. But I'm going to let that happen now, whatever it may be. And then I want to have just a final word before we sing our closing song. I love you all. You are all in my heart and will be. Thank you. Do I need to stay here? Okay. All right.
Good morning. We're going to try to keep you from crying today, so, or anymore. Fred, you have done enough. Well done, good and faithful servant. It's the love of Christ that brought you and Renee and your family to us, and we are so thankful for that. And in the love of Christ, we're going to let you go and bless another church. But while you were here, it's been wonderful. And so we've put a slideshow together of a few memories and just how you all have touched our lives. And of course, we had to name it Everything We Ever Need to Know We Learned from Fred. So here we go.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful. said I'd be your man when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing is in the Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
Thank you.
enjoyed that. That was a lot of work by Dania. I helped out a little bit. They always say, when we were talking about today's Sunday, bring a box of Kleenex, so that's why you see all the boxes of Kleenex. Fred and Renee, if you'd like to come up. We've got a few things we would like to send with you. One thing is you've done so much to the parsonage and just made it beautiful. And so we got you the plants on the altar, which is a red Japanese maple, and then two hydrangeas that you can plant wherever you want and take that with you and continue to grow as you will make others grow, and we'll continue to grow also. The next thing we want to give you is a frame that we all signed. And if anybody didn't sign it, you can do it afterwards at the luncheon. And it's got some memorable pictures in it of your time here with us. And we'll have that on display in the luncheon. The last thing, when we were trying to decide what to give you guys, we thought, you know, they don't, you're hard to buy for, so... we had a fab meeting, and the discussion came up, what can we get Fred? What can we get Fred and Renee? What can we give to them? And we said, you know, we want them to think of us and remember us, and we also just want it to be something to take with you. And we didn't think a Home Depot card was going to do it. So the red furniture that you guys love, we pitched in, we've replaced it, and so you get to take that with you. So that sectional couch that's in the parsonage, they get to take that with them. And there will be a small entourage this afternoon to help you load that up. So we thank you, and hope everybody stays for lunch to tell Fred goodbye. Or see you later. Thank you.
Have to listen to you. Let them listen to you.
Well, y'all help me with one sin, and that's coveting furniture. Betty and I went to pick that furniture out, picked it out, and paid for it, and we were supposed to get it delivered. Ashley furniture burned down, and I called Fred. I said, Ashley furniture burned down. Our furniture was there. But y'all are so precious and so wonderful. You've helped us through so much. You won't ever know how much you've helped us, because we have loved Asheville for 16 years. We love the places that we were at the first 8 years, and we love you here. But it's harder because we are actually going down the mountain back to the flatlands, and it's not like we can just drive across one little mountain and see whoever we want to see. We're going to have to drive a little further now, but we will. Thank you for all the prayers and the help, and taking Fred away so that I don't have to have him with me the whole time packing. But y'all are awesome. Wonderful people, and I love you so much, and I don't know how to thank you.
I'm speechless. I guess now maybe I can actually sit on that furniture. I think I've sat on it twice. That's about the only time, yeah. So you folks, if you've been there at open house, you've sat on it as much as we have. Or when we watch the Super Bowl a time or two. I don't know what to tell you except it's more than you should have done. But I thank you. We did need some living room furniture. Where we're going, we were going to have to buy a set. And Renee had said a week ago or 2 weeks ago when we were starting to really get into the packing mode and after we had figured out that we needed furniture, she says, I wonder if we can just buy this and take it with us. Thank you. Thank you. You can go sit down now, honey. She is working on a sermon that is titled Everything I Ever Needed to Know, I Learned from Priya. So maybe at homecoming in a few years, she can come back and preach that. Because I'm sure there will be much more. Is this on, John? I can't never remember which direction. Can y'all hear me? That's not usually a problem, is it? But maybe at homecoming she can come back and preach that sermon. I'm sure there will be much more that she's learned in the meantime. Now, before we sing our closing hymn, and hopefully we go over to the fellowship hall, I just want to do one thing. The first Sunday I was here, I wore a robe. This very robe and this very stole. I've only worn it a couple of times since, at special occasions. And one Sunday when I came in and I bent over to pick something up, and I split the seat of my pants. I wore the robe. True story, folks. True story. I didn't split my pants today, but I put this robe on today because I wanted you to remember that I was called here, and I came here because God called me. And so here today, I come, I take off my stole. And I might take off this. With some help from somebody, maybe. Oh, it's unbuttoned. No wonder I couldn't unsnap it. I take off my robe that I've worn very little here. And I stand here before you now with this Carolina blue shirt on. With this Carolina blue shirt on, offering forgiveness of sins for those of you that so desperately love this color. And saying to you, to everyone, that I am no longer your pastor. That even better than being your pastor, I now join you in this congregation as your friend. And I love you. Thank you. And God bless you.
Please stand as you're